Good morning. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Joining us this morning, that noted taco aficionado, Billy Hansel.
Yes. Thank you,
is
Brian.
Is it tacos or burritos?
I like both. Equal opportunity here, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
One per hand?
I'm a big fan of Mexican food, so absolutely.
What's the strangest you've ever had?
The strangest? Mexican food?
Or one that most people don't try.
Oh, gosh. I've never tried anything too extreme.
You ever done the tongue?
No. That's one thing I was thinking about. No, I've never done the tripe tongue. No, haven't done that.
Yeah. So, no thanks. No.
Chicken, not appealing.
Chicken.
Yes.
Fish.
Chicken, beef, pork, fish. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. Are you ready for our why do we say that? Let's see if we can find something. Oh, it says these make sense. All right.
Okay.
Stumped. Why do we say stumped?
I'm stumped.
There you go. To U.S. pioneers who built cabins and barns of logs, trees they didn't need were a nuisance. It was difficult to cut and burn them in order to clear patches of land for farming, and stumps were even more troublesome than trees. Frontiersmen frequently swapped work with one another in clearing new ground. After a log rolling, it was necessary to have another gathering for the purpose of pulling up stumps. Skilled workers prided themselves on knowing how to get big ones out of the ground. But it was not unusual for a veteran to admit defeat at the hands of a particularly stubborn stump. As a result, we say that a person who is stumped when a job proves to be beyond his or her capabilities.
Okay, there you go.
Under the category, this makes sense.
This makes sense. Sure.
Whoops.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of things don't make sense anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's talk about this commute to San Francisco.
Yes.
Is that weird, or has that been kind of going on over the years and decades and has just kind of grown into this situation that we're more familiar with today?
Well, we know that... you know, we are a county that does use a lot of drugs. And so we do, you know, obviously keep track of people. We follow people. We follow people to the Central Valley, to Sacramento, to the Bay Area. But what we've seen lately over the last year.
You mean like
year,
Shadow, like in the yeah. movies? You know,
yes.
Five or six cars back? And
well,
just kinda...
yes, we do follow people, Brian. And so once we do have, you know, eyes on a drug dealer and we know that they're dealing, yeah, we can follow them. We follow people all over the state to try and confirm the deals, where they're picking things up, and you know, where they're delivering to, and so we're looking at San Francisco, and we see the open air drug market, and we see what's going on, and we're just absolutely shocked at what's going on when we see this activity.
Is this like a Union Square or along
the Tenderloin
Market Street?
Yes,
or
I mean,
O'Farrell?
It's in the Tenderloin District. I don't know.
Okay,
the exact
now before the rumors start.
Yes.
We used to have a trade with a hotel that was a block off Union Square when I was growing up. That's
okay.
Why
I'm not sure you know.
It took me 10 years to figure out what Tenderloin meant.
Okay.
Even though there were all the O'Farrell brothers.
Okay.
It
all
didn't
right.
click until about
I'm
high school.
I'm not interrogating you, Brian. I'm not sure why you're getting squirmy in the corner here.
It was the look.
Okay.
And that's when Union Square was clean and you could go to Macy's and everything was normal.
Right. Well, we see San Francisco is a completely different city right now. Anyone's visited over the last couple of years, you know, through the pandemic, we see the homelessness, the open drug issues, people urinating on the sidewalk. There's rapid thefts going on. People don't feel safe in San Francisco. And so that's, you know, one of the disturbing things. What a beautiful city. What a beautiful area. They have so much to offer, but yet it's being taken over by a lot of the public nuisance issues, drugs, homelessness, mental illness. Yes. And so it's just, it's really, really tough to see. And then when we go down there and see the open air drug market and our drug task force is reporting back to me, this is what's happening. This is what's going on.
Okay, let's get back to this open air. It's not like a flea market. Or a farmer's market, right, where everybody's got their stands set up. It's just kind of walking sidewalks.
So if you can imagine, let's just say the Arcata Plaza, and you have dozens of people walking around in backpacks, and as someone gets out of their car and starts looking around, people make eye contact, come over to you, and say, what do you need? That's the kind of things we see going on there. Yes, they don't have a stand, you know, saying, what do you want?
Flashing
you
signs.
You want ounces, you want pounds, you know, this is what we're, you know, there's not.
But it's pretty... pretty easy.
It is an easy, easy thing. So,
if you say, where's the cable cars? They'll look at you funny. Like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're not there to add to the tourism there. And it's
all through the Tenderloin area.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's really, really, it's troubling. And, when the district attorney, makes these open statements that they're not going to pursue drug dealers because they don't see this as a crime involving a victim. It's a victimless crime is what he refers it to. We want to refer back to the victims of overdose, the victims of fentanyl, and the families that are being destroyed, the lives are being destroyed by this drug.
Well, abuse and all the things that it leads to.
And all the trickle-down effect. I mean, people just really don't understand. They say, okay, it's just one person's choice to be addicted and to choose this. You should just let them alone. And it's like, not just that person's choice. That person is trapped in their addiction. That person is, struggling. And they'll, in the time, they can only think about their next fix and how they're going to get it. If they don't have the money, they're going to prostitute themselves. They're going to steal. They're going to, do whatever they can to get enough money to get that next fix. And I don't want, our community, our citizens, our people struggling like that and be able to do that. I mean, that's just horrible. We see this whole issue up and down the state, and it has to do with the amount of drugs that are in there. And so,
is San Francisco the Mecca, or is it San Francisco and L.A.? I guess San Diego would be another port city. I mean, is that part of the equation as well?
So it's literally everywhere. I mean, people can go anywhere in all the big cities and find fentanyl. It's just the easiest there in San Francisco for our area.
Yeah,
it's just
okay.
Easy. Again, it's being shipped up to Sacramento. It's being shipped up to Fresno. All the major cities, they have it. And we're become like a pipeline through Southern Oregon as well. There's a lot of people that are trying to use the I-5 corridor to transport drugs and CHP and a lot of narcotics enforcement over there, and they're intercepting a lot of it. So people are using, 101 now, too.
Nothing easy, huh?
Nothing's easy.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel, who still doesn't know why we say stumped.
I'm stumped. That was an easy one, too.
Yeah, I know. It's about as low-hanging as we can
get. I'm sorry. Yeah. It feels like a Monday.
That's just the damp outside.
Yeah.
We don't hear about meth anymore. We don't hear about cocaine. Our old friend for decades, LSD. You just don't seem to hear about booze, for that
right.
matter. But does fentanyl, is fentanyl becoming the thing that everybody's using, or is it the focus now?
It is the focus. Meth, heroin, cocaine is still out there. LSD, mushrooms, all those things are still here. They're still being used in Humboldt County. We still get arrests from these illegal substances. But fentanyl is our number one focus because fentanyl is the one that's actually killing the most people here in our county. And so the collective effort of the Drug Task Force, which involves, not only DA's office, the Sheriff's Office, Eureka PD, Fortuna, Arcata PD, and the California Highway Patrol, the collective group said, focus on fentanyl. It is affecting everyone, and so the Drug Task Force is making that their number one focus. Though they still get complaints about meth dealers, heroin dealers, it's mostly fentanyl now. And so we're just focusing on that.
I would suspect that dealers of illegal chemicals aren't brand specific.
Right.
Got a little of this, got a little bit of that, whatever you need, let me know. So when you're popping these folks for the fentanyl, are you getting these other drugs at the same time and they just aren't making the headlines?
We are. I mean, there's, I think that last week we had a couple arrests where there was methamphetamine there. But the bigger quantities are the fentanyl that we're going after. And again, they're mixing fentanyl with everything now. And so that's the danger of this. Well, for
that one's worth more than the others. Why would you be cutting into your profit?
Well, because you can sell it that way. So this is meth with fentanyl in it.
Oh, so it's not a surprise.
No, this is not a surprise. This is people understanding what they're getting. And so, it's that highball kind of, that it's you get the high and the low all in the same. I don't understand.
Does this stuff come in through the skin at all? I mean, if you're playing with it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so what makes it so dangerous is that it just takes a very, very small quantity to produce the high, and it takes a very, very small quantity to overdose. And, you can get it.
Grains of salt?
Grains of
as
salt.
As a reference.
Absolutely. Yes. And so you can Google it and get on, actually what it looks like, under a microscope and how many grains, it takes to get high. I mean, it's really, really small. So we're asking
somebody
these drug dealers.
Somebody would probably start tracking me if I did that. look what he,
how much should I take? So this is the problem here is we have these drug dealers that are out there. They're not chemists. They're not, and they're cutting this into, different substances. And and that's what just makes it so dangerous. Using illegal drugs now it's always been dangerous, but now especially, you just don't know what you're taking. Even prescription pills, if you didn't get them from a pharmacy, you don't know if these are tainted with fentanyl. You don't know if these were been stamped in a, in a garage somewhere or produced in Mexico with fentanyl in it. You just don't know.
Are there a lot of folks that get prescription drugs not...
Yes.
Through the pharmacy?
Yes. There's people that, it's dealt on the street, just like a drug, saying you want Vicodin, you want this or that, and they're dealt on the street, and it may look like a Vicodin pill, it may look like a Percocet, but it's actually fentanyl. And these things are actually killing people and killing our kids. And so that's just getting the message out to our youth, do not take anything. Don't.
So what is the response with fentanyl that people are looking for? What's that initial reason? Is it a high? Is it euphoria? It just zoning out and forget your troubles?
It's a synthetic opioid. And so opioids, it's, a euphoric effect. It numbs your body. You feel no pain, and it creates a high like none other is for how it was referred to me. And since fentanyl is so readily available and in small quantities, people are using it. And
so do you get behind a wheel and drive? Do you pass out?
It's a central nervous depressant, so you will fall asleep. You will, a lot of times when people are near overdose, they call they're on the nod because they're basically falling asleep, hunched over and that kind of thing. That's what a heroin high looks like, a fentanyl high looks like, is just numb and lethargic, so to speak.
And fentanyl is legal.
It is used for, for medical purposes. I mean, there's people now that are getting surgeries and they have fentanyl. There's fentanyl patches for long-term pain management. Fentanyl is totally used for, vital medical services and to help in the healing process. But it is highly addictive, and it should be only issued under a doctor's care.
So it's another one of those things that has escaped the lab?
Yes, and is being manufactured in China and other places and then funneled through Mexico and through our borders and up into California, all over.
Is this part of the trade that involves human?
Human trafficking?
That whole triangle. I mean, it's kind of like, the rum triangle.
Yeah.
In the 1700s.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's so many things that are coming out because of this. I mean, it's really, really bad. And the cartels are benefiting.
It's 8:30.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. As you look at the drug task force, the way it's constituted, the resources that are there, the resources that they are able to achieve, or the ROI.
Right.
Happy? Content? Guys, we can do a little bit better, or not really comfortable with what the results have been so far?
I'm amazed because our task force is not very large, and so we're always struggling for resources here. And with the limited amount of resources, they're doing an outstanding job. We've asked for support from the DEA, from the Department of Justice, and no one has any support to give us. They recognize the problem we have here on the North Coast. They recognize a lot of the issues that we hear, that we have. We talked to the U.S. Attorney's Office about it, and they're very sympathetic. But they don't have the resources to really help us out.
We're not that unique?
We're not that unique, but we have, I think, a there's drug issues all over our state. But I think it's unique here because I think per capita, I think we have a whole lot more.
Yeah. I would think, you know, as they talk about test markets, you know, if you're going to try a new flavored Cheerios.
Yes.
There are certain test markets in the country that they've identified that are isolated enough that they can roll it out, do all the marketing, make it happen, and then judge the results. I would think that our geographic isolation or distancing from pretty much anywhere would allow us to be a laboratory, a live, living laboratory for some of these various efforts in drug control, in the human trafficking control,
right,
in some of these areas that everybody in the country is dealing with. Well, why not take a couple of these isolated communities, put the ideal amounts in, the recommended structures, and see what happens?
I agree. I think we are unique here on the North Coast. And as far as mental health goes, drug treatment, and also law enforcement, I think the state can. They can come in here and they can start programs and start pilot projects here. You know, there are opportunities. There's grants out there for this kind of stuff.
And they got a huge surplus, too. It's not like money is
$70 billion? I think that's enough, yeah.
Give me 1%.
Right.
Let's see what magic we could do here.
The issue is, Ryan, that whenever you enter into a grant with the state, they want deliverables, they want X, Y, and Z, they want all these report outs that you have to actually hire someone to manage the grant portion of it because they're so intensive. They can't just say
a $700 million grant.
Right.
I bet you could carve off enough
for sure
to hire somebody.
Yeah.
The paperwork is extreme with that stuff, but the potential positive learning from this thing would be monstrous.
Right.
I would think that they would be knocking on the door in Alturas, knocking on the door in Humboldt and Del Norte and say, hey guys, can we do this in your community instead of you having to go to them and say, hey, what about us?
Right. And yes, I would think so too. But the problem is too with the state that whenever you enter into an agreement to build anything for the state and that kind of stuff, we see this with our jail expansion. It takes 7 years right now after we got $20 million to build a jail expansion. We're still in the plans process because the state is just so behind.
But they can waive that stuff.
They can, but they choose not to. And so this is where the state has to completely flip-flop, and they have to say, listen, we're going to waive all of these, you know, requirements, or we're gonna do a one-stop shop and say, we're going to get plans, we're going to buy property, we're going to get this thing done now. We saw some mountains being moved during the pandemic, right? It's like there's a pandemic. We're gonna take
Make
Redwood Acres, and we're going to flip it upside down, and we're going to create a center that we can house more patients. They were looking at buying up you know, motels. I'm looking at buying up these rest homes, that kind of thing, so we can house homeless.
They were active.
Very active. And they cut red tape and they bought things and it was like that. And so they should see this as the same kind of issue with mental health and drug addiction.
Is this coming through the legislative branch? Is that where the opportunity is? Because I would think if McGuire has any pull with the title he has, you got a one-year window to make that happen. Or is it somebody else that is the one who controls it?
So the governor used the state of emergency to cut through all the red tape. And so it was the governor's office that created this this mechanism to purchase all these things.
Well,
so
he could declare a state of emergency.
We do, and he could still declare a state of emergency through our mental health crisis. I mean, when you look at the issues that are going on with the ER at St. Joe's, at Mad River, Redwood, and the fact is that you have all this mental health issues going on at the ER. We have our Semper Virens that have expanded to 16 beds now. We're at total capacity here. We cannot handle anything else. We look at our jail and we see the mental health cases go sky high. And we have currently, I think, around 35, 40 incompetent to stand trial, you know, inmates that have been declared incompetent to stand trial that are waiting to get, you know, restored to competency. I mean, those numbers continue to rise. And so why not declare a state of emergency, cut through the red tape, build us something? I mean, we need a one-stop shop to triage and to, you know, to help treat some of these acute cases and long-term mental health cases.
So how do you blowtorch through the red tape and, you know, not fast track because that's a little too slow in reference.
Right.
If it was a building permit,
yeah.
Okay, so we go to the county, we get a variance, find a piece of property, purchase it, here are the plans, and in 4 months you're under construction.
Yeah.
Why not recommend that as a sample model and say, okay, it's still going to be up to code, it's still going to be done properly, but we're going to get it done.
Well, it can't be my idea. It's got to be the governor's idea. That's the thing. And though we've pushed this up, there's been a lot of people that have been very loud and very vocal. It's the governor's office that has to take that initiative. It's the governor's office.
Do we know anybody in there?
We do.
That's a friend?
But the problem is, it's like he's got to take that on, and he's got to be willing to do that.
You know, if he wants to run for president, I would think something like this is a successful program would go a long way to getting some of the independently minded.
But there's only 75,000 voters here in Humboldt County. So
no, but if this is a pilot program for the state and the nation,
yeah.
Game on, baby.
I agree. There should be a lot more of that.
Maybe I ought to be a political consultant for Newsom? No.
No, I think you want to
run for office. There's something totally wrong here.
I think you want to run for office.
It's time for a commercial break. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Onsell. So as we look at the drug condition today, a lot of folks, you know, that are in management positions go, okay, plus 5 or plus 10. What do you see in 5 years? What do you see in 10 years? Does this continue? Is there a sea change and all of a sudden something comes in and all of our references are gone? Is there a tipping point that's going to – what do you see out there as this – ooze is slowly coming up around us?
Yeah, I think that there is a tipping point right now. I think you're seeing failed policies. There's been a lot of promises over the years about, you know, encouraging drug treatment, you know, not having any jail time, any accountability for the low offenders, and hoping that would change something, that maybe it was law enforcement's issue, maybe we were perpetuating a problem here. But in reality, we see now that the problem's already, you know, it's getting worse. It's getting worse throughout the state. And so I think failed policies needs to be addressed, whether that's Prop 4757, whether it's you know, the AB 109 issues where we're housing state prison inmates in our county jail. So there's no room for those nuisance issues anymore.
So who steps up and says, this is goofy?
It's going to have to
calls the emperor's clothes.
Yes.
And decides to blow this thing up and say, we've tried this, now let's try something else.
It's a statewide policy that has to change.
And who sets state policy?
It is the governor's office. I mean, the AB 109 was right within Governor Brown's, you know, wheelhouse. He had a state prison population that was 180,000, you know, inmates. And he had to reduce the state prison population. Instead of building more prisons, he concocted this idea of realignment to the county jails. And then with the promise, here's a carrot, all the counties, we're going to build you jails and have jail expansions. And so back in 2015, we got one of those jail expansions. And still, again, 7 years later, we're still waiting for that expansion. And that's where, you know, the state needs to go, okay, now that our state prison population is less than 90,000, it's half. Are we looking around and saying, are we a safer state now than we were 10 years ago? I don't think so. And, you know, when we think about accountability, people need to be held accountable for their crimes. And whether that's state prison, county jail, people need to be sent to jail and need to be held accountable. And if we need to build more state prisons, put more people there, then that would seem to happen. There's plenty of programs and that kind of thing for, you know, for people nowadays. And that's a good thing for rehabilitation. We want people to rehabilitate, but we see that people choose the criminal path. People choose not to rehabilitate. They want to be in this, in the criminal element. And if that's the case, then we have to accommodate them with a state prison sentence.
So what does it take now for your expansion to start?
It takes, right now it's being held up at the state fire marshal's office. The state fire marshal has had it for months, and they're looking over the plans to make sure they are up to date with fire code. It shouldn't take that long, should it? But this is a problem throughout the state. The fire marshal takes way too long.
Is there a backlog or just slow process?
They're going to say it's a backlog. I don't know what the heck it is. I just know that I'm complaining up and down the state saying this is ridiculous. And, you know, if there's something on the desk, you know, if they need to have a sit-down meeting with our architect and the state fire marshal to say, this is a question here, can you change it? In the day of CAD systems, they can get on their laptop, change it right then and there, and press print, and it's done. Why don't they have that in place nowadays? So,
and you can't. There's no
getting
local representative
it.
Other than you.
This is Cal Fire. This is Cal Fire on the state level. They're an independent entity, and they choose, you know, to take their sweet time.
So the local office can't.
They can't
pull in a chit or anything.
Nope. And we contacted the BSCC. It's a state entity, Bureau of State for Corrections, essentially. It's the governing agency of all the corrections, about Title 15 and 24, what regulates corrections. They're the ones that regulate this grant. And we complained to them saying, why is this taking so long? And they hold up their hand saying, our process is done. It's the state fire marshal. We have no control over them, even though they're another state entity.
Is this one of those weekly calls to make?
It can be, absolutely. Bothering them.
To the point where they just say, fine.
Yeah. It's like the Department of Finance with the state and the state fire marshal. They're independent. They don't care is what it seems to me.
So once they give their blessing, then groundbreaking 2 days later?
It could be not that fast, but it could be that fast. I mean, it really could be within months that we could have the plans out to bid and that we can have groundbreaking this next year.
Now I've got an idea and somebody I can share it with.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody
Thanks,
tomorrow.
Brian.